Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Hey, listen, check out our website, themortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. You can also read my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out. The bookmark us at themortgagevoice.com. That is a great website. Go there. Now, we talk about a lot of information here on the show, and we bring it to you in kind of a quick format, an easy way that you can listen. You can listen to all of these things on YouTube as well. If you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, you can listen to a segment, an hour, many, many different shows, hundreds of shows on there from years past. You can hear whereby in I think it was January of 2020 when I said the mortgage rates are going to go up. Little did I know that it would take 2.25 years later before they actually did go up. But yes, we are in that cycle right now. Mortgage rates are definitely way higher than they were at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, about 3.5% for a 30-year fixed rate. Now we're at about 5.25%. So that's a huge jump in rates. Now, what does it do to the market? There's a lag in the real estate market. Now, why do I say that? Is because if you look around your neighborhood, or you go to the NMLS, or the MLS, or you talk to your local realtor, they'll tell you. They'll say, hey, you know, the market's tight. You're going to have to get all your ducks in a row before you even make an offer, i.e. you have to be financially qualified. You have to give them your credit score. You have to agree to pay more than the property is worth. You have to waive all these contingencies. That's where the real estate market still is, even though we've seen rates rise on the mortgage front by 2.25, 2.5 points over the last 2.5 months, 3 months. So it's lagging. We're going to see prices drop. Now, we already have, and I have a list here of some cities that the prices have actually dropped. They may not be the city that you live in or want to live in, but it gives an indication of where the market is headed because, let's face it, if things cost more, people are going to buy less. Now, what we've seen with inflation is exactly that. If we see inflation hit certain industries, whether you're going to buy a car, whether you're going to rent a car, whether you're going to buy a used car, whether you're going to buy gasoline, anybody bought gasoline lately? I saw 7-something here in a local area, and I live in Southern California. This show, of course, is all over. We're from Las Vegas down to Albuquerque up in mid-California and the Tahoe area, as well as Southern California where I live, San Bernardino and Riverside counties. Los Angeles counties, Ventura counties, yes, we're all over the place. But the cost, the price, the way that you are going to continue to see price affect demand is slower. It's lagging. So we will see by the end of the summer much more inventory on the real estate market. We will see prices down to where they are more reasonable. I'm not saying that we're not going to see a price increase this year, but in most of the country last year, 2021, we saw anywhere from 15 to 20% increase in real estate prices. Some areas even more than that. Now that's unsustainable in any market. I don't care whether you've got a ton of dough or whether it's just they're giving away the properties. This is just an impossibility. You cannot continue to pay 20% increase every year. So as we see inventory grow, as we see the market slow down, as we see prices stabilize and probably decline in a lot more of these cities, I have 10 of them here on my list, probably see 4 or 5% increase in prices nationally this year. And that's down quite a bit. It's still good, but it's down quite a bit. It's actually a bit more sustainable than what we're having. So where are we and what we've got going? Let's get to it. Let's look at some of the interest rates today as we look to head into May, which is just around the corner here. Okay, the 30-year fixed rate is at 5.3%. The 15-year fixed is at 4.72. The FHA is at 4.88. Jumbo is at 4.51. And the 5-1 ARM is at 4.20. Now, we talked and will talk on the show several times about those ARM products. Now, for many, many years, the ARM products, actually since 2008, have been looked upon as sort of a risky loan. Why? Because after the initial fixed rate period ends, you'll see, you know, the rate jump, and they could jump. So some of these products are yearly. They do a yearly adjustment. Some are quarterly, some monthly. Depends on the program, depends on the lender. When you go into these products, understand that there is a fixed rate period, and then you have an adjustable rate. Now, a lot of these adjustable rates can only go up a certain amount per year, maybe a point. And over the life of the loan, the cap is, I don't know, 3, 4 points, 5 points above where it is now. Could be more. You need to, again, be very cognizant and check it out before you get into any long term. However, the rate at 4.20, based on what we say the 30 years at 5.3, is a point less. So a 5-1 ARM, for instance, for somebody who's looking to get in and get out, i.e., or they're looking to live in a certain area for only a short time before they move to some other area. These products are great. And obviously, at a point savings on $100,000, that's $100 a month. So if you have a $500,000 loan, you're going to be saving based on the 4.20 rate today versus the 5.30 rate for the 30-year fix. That's $500 savings. That's a big deal. And over the course of the 5-year loan, well, you figure it out. That's about, I don't know, $40,000, $50,000 in interest payments that you won't have to be making if you choose the 5-1 ARM. Again, the product is not for everybody, and you need to have a great professional to talk to. Somebody, any of these people on our show, if you want, go to themortgagevoice.com. And you can go to the About Us section. Look at all the loan officers there. There's dozens of them, and they all have their information, contact information. But all of these professionals have been in the business for a long time. You can go to any of these lenders that are out there. Some of the lenders, however, are laying people off. As a matter of fact, who was it? 20% of their workforce. Wasn't Rocket? Maybe it was Rocket? Anyway, look at that. They're calling me right now. It's amazing. The mortgage industry, because the refis are down, like down 60, 70%, I think on the show we will hear from a couple of our guests today about what's going on in their personal business, but I think it's 60 to 70% of the refis are down, which means we'll go from a $4.5 trillion real estate mortgage market to about a $2.7 trillion, and they're predicting 2023 to be even less. That means that all of those people in those jobs, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them for a lot of these lenders, Rocket especially, United Wholesale as well, that has to lay people off. There's just no way that you can carry people and have them do nothing. Salary is the number one drag on any bottom line for any business, especially in the mortgage business. Now, we ride this roller coaster all the time. Why do I say that? It's because I've been in the business 25 years. This is probably the fourth or fifth time we've gone through an up-down cycle. Now we're in the down cycle, meaning that we're going to have less loans, so we need less people. And those people who are obviously in the business are now going to be getting jobs in other industries. It's terrible. It's the way it is. But in the boom era, yeah, everybody makes money. It's great. And but as I said, now we're going to have a lot of layoffs. Wells Fargo's laying off people. Who else is laying off people? I think the iBuying scheme, we saw Zillow get out of iBuying. iBuying is where a company comes in, they pay all their employees' salaries, and they buy a property. They fix it up, and then they sell it. And they figure in to whatever math that they're doing that as a result of doing this, they still can make a margin of X. But that scheme went to the heck in a handbasket with Zillow. And so the iBuying companies really are laying off a ton of people. Because that particular model doesn't work. If you're paying salaries and there aren't enough business to go around, guess what? You got to fire a lot of people. Now, we've seen that in the iBuying scheme. This is just in general. If we have 1 in 9 people in the U.S. working in the real estate business in any of these capacities, we're now seeing that those excesses that were hired for the boom are now getting laid off. At a company, smaller companies usually work on a tight margin anyway. It's just the only way to compete. And so a lot of the smaller companies will keep their base staff going. So when you're looking for a lender, make sure that you're with a lender that both has terrific underwriting, meaning that they do in-house underwriting. They're not outsourcing it to a different place. Make sure that you're looking for a company that has quick turn times that can do manual underwrites if needed, especially in this market when we're looking for different non-QM, non-QM being the non-government, non-Fannie, Freddie agency type loans. Those people are the ones that you're going to need now more than ever. So if you're looking for a non-QM, make sure they have in-house underwriting. Make sure that the staff that they have can handle volume of a nature like this or your particular loan. All of these are really important. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. This is The Mortgage Voice, and I am Jeff Barton. Mortgage Voice with myself is available upon demand and on the air anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information. And by the way, with the changing world and the way things are in the industry, you need this information more now than you ever have. Just search for The Mortgage Voice, and you can do that online. The Mortgage Voice is a popular website. You can go there, listen, watch different people who appear on the show, as well as listen to the shows that appear on weekly on many of our radio stations, as well as our podcast. We have several podcasts, if not 10. Apple, Google Music Play, Spreaker, IoClip, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio, as you know. A number of different markets, including the Inland Empire of Southern California, Las Vegas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. Welcome to The Mortgage Voice. With us from Albuquerque today is Eddie Vial, and I really appreciate you. He's from Realty One, been there a long time. Going to give us a little bit of an update as to what's happening in the local market. Eddie, how are you?
Hello, this is Eddie Rail, Realty One, as you already said, and I have, by law, we have to give you the phone number, 505-883-9400, that's our office number. The market is really strong here still. Okay. Problem is, the same problem we've had for the last 2 years, is there's not enough inventory and too many buyers, so we do have a shortage, and so therefore, things have not changed too much. It's still very strong, seller's market. But the rates are starting to change a little bit now, so we're starting to see a slight shift. How's the market there in California?
About the same. I mean, what we see is in pockets, we've seen a little bit of a reduction in the amount of buyers, but we still have multiple offers in many, many ways. What we think is probably another 6 months of, raising the rates and tightening and a bit of consternation or worry about a pending recession, and we may see some inventory rise. That's kind of what we're looking for here.
Yeah, we're still very, very short here, right. And people are moving into the New Mexico, the Albuquerque market, but there's a big difference. 2.5-3 months ago, you know as well as I do, that the rates were under 3%.
Yep.
Now they're maybe a tad over 5, and that means that 200-300 a month difference on the house payment, it means qualifying or not qualifying. So our market is still strong, but we're not getting 6 or 7 offers on the property. We're getting 2 or 3 maybe, but it's still strong for a seller. But I do look for it to change sometime down the road. I'm urging anybody that has like rental properties or they're thinking of moving to do it now before the market does change.
Now, what does the market look like down there in terms of the pricing? I know that Albuquerque, over the last year or 18 months, has been almost the hottest market in the country. We've seen, 15% to 20% increase in prices. But what is the median house price there, and where are there some pockets possibly for some opportunity to purchase?
Well, right now, the average was like in the low 200s, now it's like in the low 300s.
Right.
I don't know the exact figure of it. That's documented somewhere. I don't worry about that too much. I just go by what my clients are looking for.
Sure.
But I've been having difficulty for a while finding properties for somebody to buy simply because there's just not that much available. So,
mm-hmm.
Again, I'm contacting people that own rental properties and telling them now's a great time to sell. Hold on to the cash because a couple years down the road, the market may change dramatically and you may be able to buy back properties a bit cheaper then.
Are you seeing FHA and VA more now than you were before?
Yeah, they're doing now the VA is probably the most popular. Albuquerque has got a whole lot of veterans here because
right.
We have a big VA hospital and we're very veteran-friendly here in Albuquerque. And the rates are a little bit lower, like 4.25 to 4.75 for VA loan here,
right.
As opposed to 4.5 to 5.25 on a conventional loan. So we do urge people, and people are using VA loans, even if they're putting down payments down on property, they're still doing it. But a friend of mine that does mortgages here in town says that 60% of his refinance business is gone,
right.
Because people are refinancing at 3, 2.75, 3.25. And now at 5 or 4.75, 5.25, no advantage to refinancing anymore. So the business has slowed down a bit. But he is selling a lot of reverse mortgages. Are you guys doing much reverse mortgage up there?
That's
because people can put
right.
half down
right.
and use the other half off of a reverse mortgage.
You know, it's interesting. There is a lot of call for reverse, but they keep one. In many respects, reverse mortgage is great for a certain percentage of people. Those people that own a house, got more than 50% in, or they want to take their ability to get a reverse mortgage and purchase based on some equity they have in their house. But it's still a process. There's still a lot of mistrust in the marketplace about doing those kind of loans. Are you seeing anybody use the reverse mortgage for purchase in your area?
I haven't personally done it, but this guy that I work with pretty often, he's got three of them right now,
right.
and he says that, you know, that like maybe a quarter of them are purchases. Most people are just, you know, they've got a lot of equity in their house, or it's free and clear, and they just need to supplement now that we're getting more and more inflation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And while the rates are lower, still 5.25% is very, very low rate.
Yes, it is.
You know, just they can get... it's much more advantageous to do a reverse mortgage now that the rates are down.
When you look at a buyer or somebody who comes into your office and wants to buy a house, what is the first thing you do when you ask them to qualify financially? I mean, are you asking them for documentation? Are you sending them to a broker? What are you doing?
Yeah, we do send them to a broker because if you don't have, if they're not well qualified, it's hard enough to sell a house, to find a house for someone. But if they're not really well qualified, or actually already through most of the qualification process,
right.
They won't even look at your offer. So so I make sure that somebody's very well qualified before I take them out. I work mostly with sellers. You know, I have a radio show also, and I advertise for people that want to sell their properties because that's the market today.
Yeah, do me a favor. Tell people how they can get a hold of, well, not get a hold of you, but listen to you on the radio. What's your show? What station is it on? That'd be great.
Okay. KDSK is a call letters, and around the world you can get it on KDSK.com. And I'm on Sunday afternoons, the first and third Sunday, which should be this Sunday, the first and third Sunday of every month, from 1 to 5, Albuquerque, New Mexico time, which is mountain time. Okay? 1 to 5, first and third Sunday, KDSK.com. KDSK.com. Should be able to pick it up. And my number is 505-550-7235. That's 550-RAEL on the cell. My last name is R-A-E-L. 550-7235 if they want to get a hold of me. And if they need some information, anything I can help them with, I do appreciate a call.
Excellent. Well, obviously, we're coming into a different market than we've been in over the last probably 3 to 4 years where rates have been going down and people have been rushing to buy houses. Cooling of the market, do you think that that's going to be a precursor to any kind of a recession? As we all know, nobody wants that, but everybody wants to see the inflation come down. So how's it working down there, and what are people feeling on the street?
Well, just let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was my first got my license when Jimmy Carter was president,
yep.
and that guy he makes Biden look good. I mean, Biden makes him. But anyway, we got into 13%, 14%, 15% interest rate.
Yep.
And they stayed there for 2 years, and almost all of us were forced out of the business because you could not give anything away at 14%, 15% interest. You couldn't.
Yep.
I was lucky. I was an engineer with a merchant marine. I got to go work on a ship again. But anyway, getting back into the business, I see the same things happening now as 40 years ago, and it's scary because it's identical to what was going on then. Inflation started taking off. They started raising the rates. So what I'm saying is you know, keep a little reserve and all that sort of stuff. But if you're going to buy something, buy it now while the rates are still around 5%. That's still a bargain.
Yep.
You know as well as I do, 7 to 9% has been the average for the last 40 years.
Yep.
And so therefore, it makes sense that if you're going to do something, you should do it now.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I think anything that 5%, I remember the last mortgage I got, which wasn't too long ago, I had a 15-year at 5.125%, and I was ecstatic. I thought I had, you know, died and gone to heaven. That was the best rate ever. Finally paid off my house, so it was terrific. So we're right at that point now. These rates are still excellent.
Uh-huh. Hold on a second. yeah, they're still very, very good. And now's the time to do something, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I do know that if the rates continue to go up and things do start slowing down, there's going to be a whole different ballgame a couple years down the road. But I'm not a negative guy. I look at the positive.
Right.
I look at the powers that be being changed and things getting back to normal again. And there's a lot of things that we can do, you know, start drilling for more oil. We're not going to talk politics now.
Nope.
There's a lot of things we can do to correct the inflation and to correct a lot of the issues that we're having. And so I look for that to change, especially after the midterm elections. So I'm thinking positive. Buy the rental properties if you can. If you're going to make a move now, because you'll get most for your house. Sure, you'll have to pay more for another one. But don't forget, you're still getting a 5% interest rate, which is really good, you know?
Eddie, I'm up against it.
Than it's normally worth, and then you get a 5% interest rate. Overall, you're in good shape, especially if you can get a VA loan at say, 4.25% or something, you know?
Okay. Hey, Eddie, thanks very much for coming on the show once again, giving us a rundown on what's happening in Albuquerque. We are up against the clock, and I'm sorry, I got to go.
Okay, 550-7235, Eddie Rayel. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Lex, I'm here every week, and we talk about mortgages, and the way we talk about mortgages is to try to bring information to you. The show is available when you need it, if you need it right away. You know, you got a busy schedule. I understand it. You understand it. I'm busy, too. But if you want, you can listen to this show anytime you want. Find our episodes on demand from our website, themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice. And our Mortgage Minute, which is a weekly on Facebook, or it's on LinkedIn. By the way, I get a lot of comments on that. I don't know why. It just seems that it reaches more people every day. And I'm boosting the show now. So anytime you see the show, click on it that you like it. Why? Because the more people like it, the more people can get the information. It's not mostly my information. It's information from the guests we bring on the show. And these people are experts at what they talk about. Charles Giscombe, who's been on the show, he's the qualified employee out there in Nevada. He's really the manager of that state out there for us. He works for Malibu Funding. He joins us now. Charles, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thanks for having me today, man.
Thank you very much. Okay, volatile times, markets up and down, inflation, people are screaming recession. What's really happening out there? What are your clients saying? Are they anxious, or are they just taking it as it comes? What's going on?
You know what, Jeff? It's an interesting time, because we're doing more loans than ever now, but as they're doing the loans, they're complaining about the interest rates and how things are going up, but they're still transacting.
Right.
Basically, it's what it is. The cycle has finally come. Now, whether you say the cause of it is the war, it's just a cyclical thing that's occurring, and the interest rates are going up, and the different things that are happening in the world are also playing, can be attributed to the interest rate rise. So all that being said, the interest rates are high. We still have people transacting. The property values are still same or growing, which
right.
is amazing.
Yep.
And the demand for the properties is still high. So as that happens, it's an interesting thing. Malibu, we're still here to provide service to anybody who needs help, whether it be purchase transactions, commercial transactions, primary residence, whatever it might be. We're here and available, and we offer a whole host of programs that can still help people get into properties, even with the interest rates changing and rising.
Now, clients, client-wise, they come to you, they want to buy, they saw rates, I don't know, 2 months ago were in the threes, now they're in the fives. The dampening or the anger or whatever it is that customers go through. For us as professionals to look at products and programs, I've seen a lot of companies, a lot of lenders come out with 550 FICO scores for FHA. This is one of the things that lenders do with which to broaden the amount of loans that they can get in the door. What do you see from yourself, from your own experience, about what you can offer borrowers that maybe not or wasn't available, or maybe they wouldn't have even looked at it before the rate rise?
Absolutely. I do. There are those programs now. So we have different banks that we are brokers with, or correspondents with, Jeff, that do provide lower FICO score, giving other individuals an opportunity. Credit events occur all the time, and you have people that are structured properly, still have traditional structured financing, W-2s, paycheck stubs, bank statements, tax returns, but they may have had a credit event that takes them down. And so now the FICO score used to be a 620, then some, you know, a 580, now 550. Even VA, 100% financing, 550. So you do see the banks trying to open up the lanes for individuals who normally might not qualify to get through the door. On our side, we have all of those programs, and we work with some of the largest banks in the world, mortgage banks in the world, to provide those interest rates for those people that have that traditional structure. What I've been seeing now is that Malibu, myself, and all of our company, company-wide, have been providing more alternative loan options, like non-QM loans. Non-QM loans are non-qualified mortgages that can do alternative DOT programs for individuals who can show the ability to repay. And what that is that if you don't have the tax return, if you don't have a traditional structure, W-2s, paycheck stubs, you can utilize your bank statements to qualify. As low as 10% down, get a 90% LTV loan with just your bank statements and a 620 or 660 FICO score. With those programs, they can offer bank statement, they can over profit and loss, they can get a CPA deal done. There's a whole host of alternative documentation types that you can do to get qualified. The reason why I talk about non-QM so much, especially now in this market, Jeff, with the interest rates rising, is that now the non-QMs are competing with the traditional mortgages because you offset what you normally would get because the interest rates are higher. Now you might have a little higher rate, but what the non-QMs do is they have the flexibility to offer other options, such as a 40-year interest-only loan. That helps you balance the fact that you have a high interest rate with the fact that you only have to pay interest only if you so want to, and that will lower your payment. I'm seeing people lower their payments from anywhere from $300 a month to $1,000 a month by selecting the interest-only option on a 40-year with a non-QM loan. So there's all kinds of flexibilities and different things you can do with a non-QM loan that you might not be able to do with a traditional loan that will offset your fear for the higher interest rate, because now they're compatible. They're close. And along with the non-QM loans, Jeff, you also have no mortgage insurance. So now you're saving yourself an additional amount of money that a person who is looking for that 4.5% loan can get a 6% non-QM or 7% non-QM loan and still stroke the same check. It can be comparable to that lower interest rate. So you need to take in consideration, you can't be interest rate conscious anymore. The interest rates are up for everybody. I think the average on a traditional rate mortgage right now, on a conventional, might be, Jeff, you might be at 5.62 on a jumbo. So, you're in the fives now. The FHA loan's in the fives now. So people understand something. There's other options out there, other types of loans that have other beneficial features that can offset the higher interest rates that are happening on the market right now.
Well, okay, so let's get into some alternative type loans that, like the ARM products, the 5, the 7, the 10-year ARMs, they seem to be now circling back to being in vogue because they're obviously at least a half a point off and or less than your conventional 30-year. What do you think about those ARM programs?
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, I always say this. The interest rates are rising. We don't know when they'll get back or how soon they will get back. I think that if you're in a short-term situation, you may not be planning on keeping the home that you're going to purchase. It might be an investment property. It might be a temporary house. It might be something of nature. I think to offset that, an ARM might be a good idea for some individuals. Now, if you're looking long-term and wanting a lock for a 30-year loan, obviously the ARM is not with you. But at the end of the day, it still provides an option for people for short-term options. An ARM just means it's an adjustable rate mortgage, and that if it's a 5-1 ARM, you can lock in for 5 years at that same low interest rate. If that's enough time and meets your strategy and your need, I think it's a great loan to get into because that ARM adjustable rate mortgage that's providing you the lower at that time, you can make that payment, and it may be more comfortable for certain people. It depends on your strategy, your financial need. I would then talk to someone a seasoned loan officer who can talk to you about the benefits of that situation and make sure it benefits you for your short-term and your long-term goals in regards to your mortgage.
Talking real to clients, okay, we all have the ability to sell, especially in an easy market, i.e. the interest rates are low. It's easy. You just sell them rate and you're done. In a market like this,
correct,
where we've got rising interest rates, when you are talking to the clients, getting real with them, I guess is the best way to say, hey, look, this is what it is. This is the rate today. You're either going to lock today or the rates might rise tomorrow. How do you have these discussions with people and have them not take it out on you?
Well, this is the thing. Transparency is best.
Right.
If, you know, it used to be a market where you tried to find the lowest interest rate on the block. I always tell people, those days are gone. There's no low interest rates for anybody. Even people with great credit have high interest rates. You need to understand that. I also speak to them in a form of, it's not a punishment for you that this is a high interest rate. It's just where the market is right now. So I explain to them, the floor rates that they used to know before no longer exist.
And will not exist.
They will not exist. You're absolutely right.
They will not be back.
They will not be back. You have to explain to them that this is what we are. And what we used to be before we were at an all-time low was close to where we are right now.
Right.
And so you have to let people know. We were there before. There were 7% loans before. Please, people, conventional loans used to be 7%. Understand that. We just happened to get into a situation. The cycle changed. We got really low. Things got adjusted. Now we're going back to that. So now we have to set our mindset that says, we need to keep transacting, but what we need to do is we need to be smarter. We need to talk to someone who is going to tell them the truth, give them the option, every option. There's so many other loan options that are out there right now that can meet any financial model or structure. But finding the lowest interest rate available may be you taking a 6% loan. That may be the lowest loan available at the time. You have to understand that is what's available. And once again, it is not punishment. It is not anyone criticizing your credit score or your credit position or your credit profile. It's simply the market adjusting itself, and we have to be able to pivot, explain, and show ways that individuals can still transact even in this market with the interest rate going up.
Excellent. Chuck, we're up against it. Shout out how people can get in touch with you. Great loan officer in most of the states that Malibu Funding does business.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you so much. You
sure.
can reach me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaacvenick. Or you can reach me directly at area code 702-328-5191. Again, that's 702-328-5191.
Charles, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show. Once again, awesome.
Jeff, thanks for having me always.
Okay, man. Thank you very much. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Our show is available whenever you need it and whatever you need information right away. Fits your busy schedule anytime, anywhere. Watch, listen to the show. You can go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. You can see this show as well as countless other shows that we've done over the years, as well as our Mortgage Minute that we put on a daily, several times during the week with LinkedIn and Facebook and a number of other social media outlets. We are also, let's see, what is this? Let me read this copy correctly, okay? We're also on SoundCloud and The Mortgage Voice and our Mortgage Minute weekly programs. We just did that part. And in podcast form, wherever you get our podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, so yeah, we bring you information, but mostly it's from great guests that we bring on the show and people who are experienced in the industry. We got a tough time in the marketplace, and if you're out there right now working with somebody who really isn't that experienced or has been through this before, i.e. interest rates rise, market getting tighter, really tight inventory, you're in trouble. So this person, Brenda Scott, who's been on the show many times, and we call to her when we're in a jam in terms of what's going on in the market, and we want to know. Brenda, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm good. I am very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so give us your 30-second, what's happening in the marketplace and in your business.
Well, obviously, we all know that the interest rate has increased, and the buyer's market is off the chain right now, but it's still a good market, and there's some great programs that are coming out, or some are out and some coming out, that's going to accommodate the adjustments for the interest rates. You know, we have interest-only programs
right.
that can go up to, you know, 25 years. We got interest-only for 10 years, and they're still good rates. Everything is based on your FICO score.
Okay, so when they do that credit profile, now I had heard for years that they were trying to change the way lenders look at credit, and they were trying to have this revolving credit whereby the last 18 months were more important than, let's say, you know, the last 5 years, meaning that you could have had a credit event, health scare, some kind of divorce, bankruptcy 5 years ago, but it's still affecting your credit, but they're not going to look at that part of it. They're only going to look at the last 18 to 24 months. Did that ever happen, or are we still looking at the broad range of what happened in your credit score as the main focus of how they compute that?
I agree with you. The last 18 months to 2 years, that's exactly what they're looking at.
Okay.
And if there's a glitch or something on your credit, we work it out. I mean, we're able to do, if it's something that you missed or if it's something that's reported incorrectly, we can get that done by doing a rescoring. They're very expensive, but they're very accurate. And they can be done between 2 to 3 weeks where your FICO score has increased. I did one. Her FICO score was below 600. We did the simulator, and it tells you exactly what you need to pay to get exactly what score you need to get.
Okay.
And we did it, and we got our score up to 630. So it works, but you have to do a little bit of work to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And obviously, being experienced, you know exactly what that is. And for most people out there, if when you have your credit pulled and your lender or your loan officer doesn't know what that is, you really need to find somebody who does. Because 50 points on a loan like that is the difference between a half a point probably in the rate and the ability to either get the loan or not get the loan.
You're right. It was the ability. We could not get the loan at that FICO score.
Right.
But we were able to do it, and we were able to close that loan within 45 days. That's even with waiting on the credit to do their upgrades. And when they do the upgrades on it, they upgrade all three scores. Whatever bureau is affecting your score, if it's one, if it's two, they do them all. If it's three, they do them all. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So they don't just do it on one, because when you run the credit report again, it's still going to be there if you don't do it all three scores. It's possible. It can be done. You know, FHA is still a good loan out there. The rates are still good. You know, you can get
yep.
a purchase at a 580 FICO score. So that's still a good market. It's still a good deal.
Yeah, I, you know what? I've never understood when people say they can't get a loan, their FICO score is too low. I say you got to go to FHA. Yes, you have to pay the mortgage insurance, but on the other hand, at a 550 FICO score, you can't get a loan anywhere else. And these are good programs, and usually at a pretty good rate.
They're pretty good rates. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And within, you know, 24 months, with the market being the way it is now, I've had clients go back to that lender, get an appraisal, and have that MI removed, because now it's under the 80% mark. So now your payments are dropping another maybe $200-$300, and
right.
you still have a good rate. But that's a good deal.
That's a great deal, and it's a good thing. What I wanted to ask you is the difference, not the difference, but your product mix, whether it's a purchase or refi. Now, we all know refis have been down like 50 to 60%. What's your personal business? Are you still doing refis, or are you mostly in purchase now?
I'm doing refi, just little, but purchase is more. But here's the thing, even on these purchases, these prices are off the change. I mean, realtors are sometimes getting demanding offers $100,000 over the initial purchase price, and now clients hear this word escalation, and they think that's the way out. But escalation is that's a tricky legal issue. So I wouldn't recommend anyone doing any escalation on purchases because, you know, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble with that verbiage on a purchase agreement.
What does that mean? I've never even heard that. What is that?
Oh, no. It's an escalation clause that says if you put your offer in, I'm giving you numbers, if you put your offer in at $500,000 and the agent is accepting highest and best offers, and they got a highest and best offer at $550, and you got an escalation clause that says I'm willing to give you an extra $10,000 over your highest price you have, as long as you can show me proof.
Oh wow! So basically, you have an offer which is an open-ended offer.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But I went to a seminar that had a couple of attorneys on it, and they highly recommend against putting escalation clause because it can get you in some trouble. I mean, you could end up agreeing for an escalation, and if that purchase price is over and above what the value is going to come in at, you can get stuck with a hefty bill.
Well, yeah, and you're recommending to your client to do that. I think as a professional, if you're a real estate agent, you're saying, hey, pay anything so, you know, it really benefits you the most, not the client.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure. And they're not doing any contingency on the appraisal. They don't give a hoot what the appraisal comes in as. I want what I want.
Now, do you think this market is going to slow that kind of business down? I mean,
Yeah,
I do too.
Oh yeah. I can see it now. I can see, you know, the agents that I work with, I can see where, you know, they've had, you know, put in a number of offers in on properties, and now I can see where the number of offers has reduced because it's slowing down a little bit. You know, people are getting a little bit concerned about the prices and the interest rate. And the fact that you don't want me to have a contingency on an appraisal. Most of these offers are they're getting, you know, from $50,000 to $100,000 over appraised value.
Yeah, so there's no way
you can,
right. There's no way you can have a contingency about an appraisal if you know that going in. So you got to instantly not as a buyer, you got to just ignore that part of the contract.
Right.
Because you're not going to get accepted
and I
otherwise,
try and tell buyers, look, if you're going to buy, let me work some comps up for you. Let me tell you what the last comp closed, you know, apple to apple, and you have, you know, you make an intelligent decision. Why would you pay $50,000 or $60,000 over market? That money comes out of your pocket. The lender can't finance that.
Right, and you don't know where the market's going. In a year, we may have a turnaround, and we may see a decline of 10% in the market. In terms of what the price is. So now what? Now you're upside down underwater.
Now
forget
you're upside
it.
Down.
Right.
Exactly. Now you know, you can walk away. Because, you know, well, why would you walk away? Because you just invested, you know, $60,000 over market. You gotta stay. You gotta play the game with it now.
Exactly. Brenda, we're up against it. Tell people how they can get in touch with a terrific loan officer here in the Southern California area.
562-500-2400. Again, that's 562-500-2400. Call me with any questions. It's free. You know, I'm not going to even charge you to answer the phone.
That's excellent. This is Brenda Scott from Malibu Funding. Brenda, thanks very much for coming on the show once again.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, have a great day.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Our show is available whenever you need information, even if you need it right away, to fit your busy schedule. Make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website, themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our other Mortgage Minute and Weekly program is also available on YouTube, as well as LinkedIn and Facebook, and in podcast form wherever you get podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io. Podclips.io is a great place where you can go and see many different people in podcast world going to a central location to find a place where you can get information on a bunch of different issues, whether it's lifestyle or sports or financial is where I am, whether it's in, what else do they have, John? You know that.
Well, they have health.
Hell, absolutely. I know that part.
Health is big over there at Podclips. But yeah, they have health, and they've got a very cool show about sports stars who have been retired and gone through their money.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that, because there's a lot of people who make money and can make money, and then they lose it.
Yeah.
Part of what we try to do is to get them to a point where they're buying real estate. Real estate is the best way to keep your money. Why? Because the depreciation on real estate over the years, most people are millionaires in the U.S. because of real estate that they own, that they bought at one price and have waited long enough, and now it's worth a different price, and usually that makes them very well off. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. Thank you, John, for coming on. Okay, so let's get to a couple of things. We had talked to a number of our guests today, as well as earlier in the segment, about the difficulty of loans in this type of market and why it's really, really important for you to make sure that you're choosing the right program. Rate is one thing. Program is something different. Now, difficult loans, people that don't want to disclose in entirety of their tax situation, get into what they call the non-QM loans. Now, the non-QM loans used to compete very favorably with the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, the fixed rate, and used to be a half point or three quarters of a point off. Well, now it's more like a point or maybe a point and a half difference. Now, with these loans, and one of the reasons that I bring it up is that if you're in a non-QM situation where you locked a loan 30 days ago, continue to check with your particular lender, with your particular loan officer, to make sure that that loan is moving quickly through the system. Why? Because a rate that you locked, think about it, 30 days ago, what were the rates in the non-QM world? Well, I can guarantee you they are at least a half a point more than they were at that time, because non-QM rates have adjusted very rapidly, and they continue to be volatile, meaning that if you have a lock, make sure that you don't blow the lock, i.e. that the loan is extended beyond the lock period. Now, normally locks can be given once or twice free of charge. Not so much anymore. Usually, if you're up against a lock, you have to pay for an extension, especially in a market where your lock on your particular interest rate is going up. People say, why is that? I shouldn't have to deal with that. I should get what I locked. Well, yes, that's true, unless there's a problem with your loan. Now, non-QM loan are usually manually underwritten and usually at the discretion of the lender. Now, the lender takes the loan that they've locked in and they sell it on the secondary market, or they keep it in-house in what they call a portfolio loan. But still, those loans have to have value to that particular investor, or else there's no point in actually going through with the loan. So you have to be very vigilant, and you have to make sure your loan officer is on it, because if you've got that lock and it's 30, 35 days later and you still haven't closed your loan, you may be in trouble. And in trouble means you may be in risk of losing that particular loan. So if you're out there, you got the non-QM, we know rates have risen, so make very, very sure. And I always say that because we do a lot of the company I work for, Malibu Funding, and they're the sponsor of this show, and I want to thank them. NMLS number 6290. What is my NMLS number? 79620. That's what it is. So if you're in our company, keeping a track of the rates and the rate locks is like a full-time job for most of the processors because, as I said, nobody wants to go back to the borrower and say, hey, look, guess what? We have to recast or relook at the loan because we don't have the lock anymore because we took too long to get the loan closed. That's just something that nobody wants to do. Now, sometimes it's not the fault. It's the fault of the appraisal, that we've had appraisal issues simply because we can't get enough people out to do the appraisals, or there are too many orders. That all happened all last year, and we talked about that on the show many, many different times, that the appraisals themselves, going out to the property, just scheduling them, a lot of times you would have to pay more than the actual rate or more than the amount that they were charging in order to get what they call a rush done. Now, a rush in this particular situation would mean that you'd pay $500, $600, maybe even $1,000 more. If it's a rural area, it's definitely $1,000 more just to get the people out. So given that, and knowing that the rate locks, because rates have risen, are really in danger, you have to make sure that your loan officer and you are thinking about this when you're using a specific loan. Okay, let's get to some of the news to use in the show. I talked a little bit earlier about some of the markets where real estate prices have increased. Have decreased. There are 10 top markets in the country where real estate prices have decreased. Now, whether you want to live in these areas, whether you do live in these areas, it's interesting because percentage-wise, some of the numbers are huge. But dollar-wise, I mean, Southern California, the average price is in Los Angeles County is about $900 to $1 million, right, for a house. So if you're in Ventura County, San Bernardino, Riverside, it's probably between $500,000 and $750,000. If you're in some other rural countries, it may be less. Certainly, that is true here. We had Eddie Real on the show earlier, and he talked about in Albuquerque how over the last year, year and a half, prices, the median home price went from about $250,000 to $350,000. Now, that's quite a bit different than Southern California. But we do know that Albuquerque was one of the hottest markets in the country last year, and over 20% the property values increased. So percentage-wise, that's one of the hottest areas, but dollar-wise, it still lags way, way below. Yes, very busy, I know. Okay, so here we go. Let's just do three or four of these properties. The 10th property where property has gone down is in Richmond, Virginia. It has gone down 3.4% to $310,000. That is the number 10 property, the 10th market in the country to where prices have gone down. Now, I like Richmond. I've been there. I got family there. It's a nice city. It's it's middle-class city. And $310,000 as a Southern California resident sounds cheap to me. Now, obviously, for the people in the area, it's not cheap, and certainly anybody outside D.C. will begin to tell you what's cheap and what isn't cheap. Let's go to the 5th market, okay? The 5th market went down 5.8%. That's in Springfield, Massachusetts, $240,000. We see a bit of a trend here, right? So the lower rates, the amount that the property values have gone down, properties are, $200,000 to $300,000. Let's go to the 3rd. Oh, you'll love this, has gone down 15.4%. The median home price in this city is $75,000, but yet it's gone down 15.4%. So percentage-wise, it's huge. Dollar-wise, $75,000. I'm thinking, well, what can you buy for $75,000? Well, obviously, you can buy a single-family home in this city, Detroit, Michigan. So if you live in Detroit, prices have come down, and your ability to afford this has gone up. Median home price, $75,000. Number two on the list. Where is it? Where is my number two? It's right there. Rochester, New York, gone down 17%. 17% this year from its highs last year. And the median home price, $150,000. So for $150,000 in Rochester, you can buy yourself a single-family home. Now, for anybody who bought it last year, you're not happy, right? I mean, if you paid 20% more than this, you still only spent another $20,000. But in that market, that's a big deal. And the number one overall drop in real estate prices so far this year, Toledo, Ohio, down 18.7% to $115,000. So as you can see, there's plenty of places in the country where you probably can afford. Do you want to live there? And the place you do want to live, what is the price? Now, I've said and predict, end of the year, we'll see prices drop. We will see inventory rise, and it's a better time to buy than it is right now. But if you got to buy now, rates are still pretty good, about 5%, 5.25% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.